Good morning and happy Saturday. It's really wet out there and hope you all are staying dry. Grab your coffee or tea, whatever it is that you guys drink, and all set to listen to In Conversation with Rashmi. I am live in studio on CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo, bringing you your community stories. Two beautiful guests with me here, and these women are independent, strong, empowered, motivated, and inspiring in their own journeys. My very first guest today is a Canadian worship artist and singer-songwriter, Dana Murray, from Dana Murray's Music School. She is passionate about using music as a tool to be hands-on and feet of Jesus to those living in poverty, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. She loves working with children and local worship leaders to help them discover their gifts and build confidence. In February of 2010, Dana Murray won the Shining Star Vocal Competition for the Christian radio station 94.3 Faith FM and has since been doing music ministry in various settings. She was also nominated for the Modern Rock Alternative Album of the Year at the 2011 GMA Covenant Awards Canada, and she won the Collaborative Song of the Year at the 2013 GMA Covenant Awards Canada. And Dana was also nominated for Pop Song of the Year at the 2015 GMA Awards. That's quite a journey. Dana Murray, thank you so much for joining me live in studio in Conversation with Rashmi.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again. And you've braved the wet, cold.
I did,
Well, it's
yes.
not so cold, but it is
it
wet.
It is pouring rain out there.
I know. Thanks again for coming in.
No problem.
So, you were born into a very musical family growing up.
Yep.
And music kind of pretty much started early on for you.
Oh, absolutely.
So how has your journey been since? Like, you've grown up in a musical family. Now you've got all these awards and you've won all these things. Mm-hmm. But where did that journey, how young were you when you started singing?
Probably as soon as I could speak, I was singing as well. I have really good memories of, there's five kids in my family, and so we used to record ourselves on a little tape player. We had the Hoekstra Choir, that's my maiden name, and so we would take turns singing little solos and just talking on this tape, and we have lots of home videos of, you know, my sister and I sitting on the piano bench just singing, and so it was just kind of always in our home, always just in our blood to just be wanting to sing and make music,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know that we... Obviously, we didn't realize kind of the impact that music was having on our lives at that time. But, we always just had such a musical family.
Okay. And you played a particular instrument or you
just... Yes, I took piano lessons and voice lessons growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, always just involved, like, if there was a school production or a play, you know, always auditioning for that kind of stuff. And then as I got older, involved in my home church, doing piano and singing as well. And then after high school, I moved to Sydney, Australia.
Okay.
To attend Hillsong College for music as well. So kind of continued in that stream.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how long were you in Australia before you decided, okay, it's time to go back?
Yeah, two years.
2 years.
Yeah, I was there for 2 years. And it's a bit of a long story, but yeah, all of a sudden I just kind of knew that, you know, it was time to go back to Canada and kind of use the things that I had learned and the ways that I had grown being away and mm-hmm. bring it back and kind of start serving my home community back home.
So you've been quite involved in, you know, churches and choirs and singing at various locations, even including the... Faith FM music station, so the radio station. So how has that evolved you as a person, and was it your way of giving back, or did it just take you into that path? How did that happen?
Yeah. So when I came back from school, I wasn't really exactly sure what I was going to do, but there was an opportunity to audition for this singing competition for the radio station. So I just thought, well, you know what? This is what's in my hands at the moment. So I'm going to run with it. I'm going to do the best that I can. And so I ended up winning that. And that's really what opened doors to start recording. I don't think okay. I had really planned to come home and start writing and recording my first album. Mm-hmm. But that's just kind of how, you know, my journey played out. And so, yeah, like I said, I ran with that and started getting requests to start singing and speaking at different events. And so I started doing some touring. I did a Cross Canada tour. Okay. I've done a few things in the States, and then some mini tours in between, and then since released a second album. So yeah, I was pretty active, you know, traveling with music for quite a few years. But in the last couple of years, you know, settling down a little bit, had a baby, and so now I'm doing less traveling with my music. Mm-hmm. I'm still really involved in kind of community stuff, okay. But not going quite as far. However, I am starting to write again, and who knows where that will take me. But yeah, doing more kind of community music at the moment.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And you've also received your Diploma of Ministry from Hillsong College.
Yes.
So what is that about? Like, does that play into your music?
Yes. I mean, because a lot of the events that I do would be at a church or maybe mm-hmm. a church barbecue or some sort of event like that. So yeah, the Diploma of Ministry that I have is what I got from Hillsong. And it just, yeah, I mean, being able to kind of connect with people and love on people and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And you've been involved so much with the church community and stuff. So does grace and, you know, being a part of that community give you some kind of peace at times? Does
Absolutely.
It, you have your own child now,
yes.
and does that, like, the blessings come into play there with through music? How does that kind of evolve there?
Yeah. I mean, for me, music is such a gift to be able to bless others with.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, in my life, in my beliefs and believing in God and just, you know, wanting to love other people and show him his love or show other people his love, music is just a good practical way. It's a good tool to be able to show that to other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you also mentioned that, you know, we briefly spoke about it as well. So it's another language that people can express themselves through as well. And also it energizes and calms at mm-hmm. the same time.
Mm-hmm.
How does that play into, because you do teach young kids music.
Yeah.
So how does that help kids evolve themselves from, you know, from a very young age?
Yeah, music has so many benefits. Like I said, it can energize, it can calm, but it's good for their memory, it's good for their IQ, hand-eye coordination, but also social skills, good for their confidence. So it's not, you know, taking music lessons isn't necessarily so that the child can be, you know, some musical prodigy, but it just kind of helps with their overall well-being. And music has a way to tap into your emotions. So it's a good tool, you know, if you're feeling a certain way and, you know, you can't quite get the words across how you're feeling, like being able to just sit down at the piano or with your guitar or even just be able to write a song. It's just a very freeing and empowering way to, yeah, get in touch with your emotions. And like I said, music does develop so many different areas of the brain as well. So it's not just, you know, taking music for music lessons sake. It's kind of helping with so many different facets of their character.
Mm-hmm. And you've also done some work back in the Dominican. Mm-hmm. And can you share a
yeah.
little about that?
So there's an amazing organization called Compassion Canada.
Okay.
And it's a child sponsorship program.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have 3 sponsored children through Compassion. And so I've been able to visit my sponsor child Kiara in the Dominican twice now.
Very nice.
And so it's been amazing to see the impact that my sponsorship has had on her life.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's 3 years between those visits. And so seeing how her life has changed and how she's grown. When you sponsor a child, you're able to make sure they have good education, access to healthcare, good healthy meals, but also that they hear about the love of God as well. And so it's not just helping them physically, but emotionally and spiritually as well, and just trying to, help them to grow into the person that they're able to be and not get stuck in that poverty cycle.
Mm-hmm. And doing this and visiting those countries, does that put a lot of things into perspective for you?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're so blessed here in Canada. However, I think we take a lot of things for granted here. And, when you go to those countries, they are just so full of joy. And, even though they have very little physically, they have so much still to give other people, and they have so much love, and it just, it really makes you think twice about, all the stuff that we think we need here back home, and that at the end of the day, it's really about people, and it's about loving people, and it's about building relationships with people, and it's not just about, having as much stuff as you can get, if that makes sense.
Yes, for sure. And you take classes from your home? Like, where does Dana Music...
Yes, so I teach now out of my home studio.
Okay.
So I live in Kitchener.
Okay.
So, the lessons take place there, and then some parents will hang out. I have kind of a little, area for them and a little cafe I've set up so they can have a tea or coffee, because obviously the parents...
I got to come visit.
Yes, the other one's paying for lessons, so I want to make it enjoyable and relaxing for them as well. The lessons are usually half an hour, sometimes an hour, depending on what the student wants, because I do piano, voice, but I also do some songwriting. I have some recording equipment. We do some performance stuff. So I just kind of cater the lessons to whatever the student wants to get out of them.
Okay.
And
what age groups are we talking about here?
All ages, really. Okay. I've taught starting at 3 years old, up into 60s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. So everybody has kind of different reasons why they would take music lessons. Mm-hmm. It's not, like I said, it's not always because you just want to learn that particular skill.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some adults that, for work, they have to do a lot of presentations, and they found their voice would, they'd lose their voice by the end of it. So just learning how to strengthen their vocal cords and support and project their voice. So, and again, there's the confidence piece and just feeling confident in your voice and its abilities, not even necessarily for singing, but just for speaking.
Yeah. So you're talking about confidence here. So your students or including adults, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we kind of sometimes lack that when we have to present ourselves and stand in front of public. Mm-hmm. So when music comes into play there, how much, like, you see a difference in them, and what is the kind of confidence level they get to, and how do they reciprocate that to you through music?
Yeah. I mean, I can usually tell, when students first start, they are quite nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sing quite hesitantly and a little bit timid. But as we go through lessons, and they just become obviously more comfortable with me, but also in their own abilities and knowing what their voice is capable of, they sing, way different, and they just even hold themselves differently, and they stand differently, and so even if we're just practicing, mic control and how to hold a microphone and how to stand up on stage, the next time they go to school and they have a little solo for some program, even just their confidence being on stage and the way they stand there, like, that all plays into it, so we work on that kind of stuff in lessons as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And are there new projects you're working on? I know you have something that's involving buddy training.
Oh, yes.
So
yes.
What's that about?
So I just started buddy lessons.
Okay.
So that can look like various things. It could be a parent and a child taking a lesson together. Because especially my younger students, if the parent didn't know any piano, I found I was teaching the student, and then really quickly, as they're getting their shoes on and going out the door, I'm trying to explain to the parent what we worked on so that they can help them throughout the week. So I thought maybe it would be fun for them to take the lesson together. They could both sit at the piano together and they can learn together.
That's great.
Because then they're learning something together. They're kind of building their bond and their relationship. They can practice throughout the week together, encourage each other, challenge each other, remind each other to practice.
Yeah.
But it could also be two siblings. If you had one that was really shy and didn't want to take a music lesson on their own, you could have two siblings take one together.
Okay.
Same idea. They can practice together and remind each other of the things that they learned in the lesson. So there's various reasons why you could do a buddy lesson, or just simply for the cost, right? If you want to just get both your children in on one lesson, they may not be learning as much because there's two, but it'd be a little bit more affordable because, you know, two children are in on one lesson. So
that's great.
Yeah.
And, again, that would be out of your studio at your home and kitchen. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So with your own one-year-old daughter here, so she just turned one.
Yes.
And you can see how kids evolve around music. Mm-hmm. So how does music impact a child's growth? You spoke about it at the beginning, but watching your own child into music early on, and you've been in the same place growing up in a family of, you know, music, but now being, or you know, taking on a role as a parent, how does that evolve, and how does that give you the, you know, encourage you to continue doing what you're doing?
I have seen, you know, so many like little examples, like if she's a bit fussy and I start just kind of singing a goofy song, like instantly, you know, her mood changes and she's listening and, you know, she'll hear the song. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. I'm not even singing it. It comes on somewhere else or on a TV show and she instantly will start clapping. So definitely I can tell that it, you know, music helps to develop so many different parts of her brain, but also, like I said, her mood, it will calm her down. Or if I'm trying to quickly change her and she's fussing and I can kind of start singing a song to her and distract her, you know, then music is just so helpful for their development and for their growth and for their social skills, you know, being able to be involved with like a music class, for example, with other babies. So they're doing music, but they're able to connect with other babies and other young children. And so, yeah, I've definitely seen music play a role for her. And she even tries to kind of sing along when I'm playing the piano. Aww. She'll start doing her little like singing.
Not ahead at all.
Yes. Yeah. And kind of dancing. And so, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great. So you're doing you've cut down on your touring and stuff, but you also have some nominations and awards that you won in the past. And I've seen a few clippings of your performances in the community. So are there shows that you perform at? Like, where are these?
Yes. Well, actually, tomorrow I'm doing one in New Hamburg for a church there. Mm-hmm. So the details are on a Facebook page. I'm just doing, just a small concert there. It's more of a community event. So I'll be sharing some originals. And a lot of my songs that I write have a story behind them. So, if I do a little performance or concert, I'm often sharing the stories and then the song that goes with it. So it's a little bit of talking, a little bit of speaking, and kind of just, hanging out with people, if you will, and connecting with them in that way. But more practically, in my home church, Calvary Assembly in Cambridge, every other Sunday, I'm involved there singing, leading worship. So that's at the moment where I'm most involved is doing stuff at Calvary and then teaching my lessons.
All right. Yeah. And how does, I know community is huge, and we all kind of, you know, in time kind of disconnect ourselves from it at some levels. So you've been quite involved in the community. How has the community support helped you get to the path you've been wanting to get into?
Well, it is all, you know, encouragement, and it's easy to get discouraged in different areas. And so when you have a group of people behind you that are believing you, because sometimes, you don't believe in yourself and your own abilities. And so when you have people that are, you know, speaking encouraging words into your life and kind of helping carry you in those moments where you feel like you just want to give up and it's not really worth it. So I think having a community around you, whatever that looks like, if it's a sports team or if it's just a, you know, a really strong group of friends, or if it's a church community, or if it's involved in a community center, you know, with your children, I think it's so important to surround yourself with people that, like I said, in those moments where, you feel like you can't go on, then there's people around you that can kind of carry you through that and encourage you and speak life into you.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And where can people grab your CDs from?
My music is on any place that you would download music, so Apple Music or Spotify or iTunes.
Okay.
So there's two albums, a couple singles as well. If you want a hard copy, the Gospel Lighthouse Uptown Waterloo carries both my albums.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you again so much, Dana, for coming in and sharing your beautiful journey with our listeners. And stay tuned, guys. I have my next guest here as well. She's an inspiring woman who has proven that no matter how hard life is, giving up is not an option. She was a counselor and program coordinator in social services, employment, and settlement. I will be shortly sitting down with Andrea Taplin, who also became fascinated with how our bodies heal and prevent disease and disability through nutrition and movement. She also studied holistic nutrition and personal training while changing her own habits after she battled weight, depression, and anxieties. And those of you who have just tuned in, you are listening to CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo in conversation with Rashmi. And if you have a story or want to share it, you can email me on airwithrashmi@gmail.com or follow me on Facebook in conversation with Rashmi or on my Instagram feed at Rash, RASHSANJ, or even the CKMS 102.7 feed. So stay tuned. I'll be right back with my next guest, Andrea Taplin.
Notice she knows no limits, she craves attention, she praises an image, she prays to be sculpted by the sculptor. Oh, she don't see the light that's shining deeper than the eyes can find it. Maybe we are made of blind souls. She tries to cover up her pain and cut her woes away, 'cause cover girls don't cry after the face is made. But there's a hope that's waiting for you in the dark. You should know you're beautiful just the way you are. And you don't have to change a thing. The world could change its heart. No scars, see, you're beautiful. We're stars and we're beautiful. Oh, 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 oh. And you don't have to change a thing. The world could change its heart. No scars, see, you're beautiful. We're stars and we're beautiful. She has dreams to be an envy, so she's starving, you know, cover girls eat nothing. She says beauty is pain and there's beauty in everything. What's a little bit of hunger? I can go a little while longer. She fades away, she don't see her perfect, she don't understand she's worth it. All that beauty goes deeper than the surface. Oh, oh. So to all the girls that's hurting, let me be your mirror, help you see a little bit clearer the light that shines within.
There's a hope that's waiting for you in the dark. You should know you're beautiful just the way you are. And you don't have to change a thing. The world could change its heart. No scars, see, you're beautiful. We're stars and we're beautiful. Oh, 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 oh.
Hello and welcome back. For those of you who have just tuned in, you are listening to In Conversation with Rashmi on CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. And I am sitting down here with a wonderful person, Andrea Taplin. Thank you so much, Andrea, for coming in and wanting to share your story with, you know, people who have gone through a similar situation like yours and could probably relate and understand that they're not alone. And there are, you know, others who have gone through it. And in sharing your story, you will be making a huge difference in other people's lives. So I'm going to start off by, you know, going back to where it all began. That would be, you know, being in that toxic workplace 12 years back, where you had mentioned it reached a whole new level of being unhealthy. So again, thank you so much for coming in and braving this crazy weather we have today with the rain. And it's a pleasure having you here.
Thank you, Rashmi. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to share my story because I know when I was going through it, I did feel very alone. And you don't know if what you're feeling is normal and you feel the stigma that comes along with it. So I began a career as a vocational counselor 12 years ago, working with individuals on disability and social assistance. And things were going well for many years. However, after I had my two children, I came back to a very toxic work environment. Mm-hmm. My boss had become very condescending. She was often rude. She would say horrible things, that we were all replaceable, that we were stupid.
Oh, my goodness.
Just very, very hurtful things. Mm-hmm. She and I had had a very good relationship prior to my children. So it was really hurting my heart that these things were happening. Mm-hmm. And I am an individual that tends to wear my heart on my sleeve. So I couldn't really understand what was happening. So for me, I started gaining weight. Okay. I started losing my concentration. I started losing my motivation. I wanted to sleep all the time. Mm-hmm. I was just very unhappy. I found I would come home and my patience was next to nothing. I wasn't giving my true self to my kids. I was coming home too exhausted mm-hmm. from everything I was going through. And it just came to a point where I realized that this isn't healthy for anyone, for me, for my family, and I needed to make a change in my
for
life.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And at what point, and you hadn't shared what you were going through with anyone at that point yet.
No.
And you were bottling it all up inside you. And at what point did you say, this is it, I've had enough, and I need to talk to somebody?
Well, I'm going to be very raw here.
And, yes, go ahead.
It was at the point where I didn't want to wake up in the morning.
Okay.
I wasn't what they would term actively suicidal. I wasn't planning how mm-hmm. to kill myself. Mm-hmm. But I was at the point where I would wake up and say, oh, why did I have to wake up?
Yeah.
Not another day. I don't want to do this again.
Mm-hmm.
And I did wake up, so here we go again. I have to do it again. And it was at that point that I thought, I have to change. I don't want to wake up every morning sad that I've woken up. And I want to be there for my children. I don't want to miss any of their lives. I want to be there.
Sure.
And my husband, I want to be there for him. I want him to always be his wife, till mm-hmm. death do us part. I didn't want, I just needed that change. And I knew that at that point that I had hit a new all-time low.
Okay. And did you then start talking to your husband about it? Did you say, okay, I need help and I'm going to go seek it? Because again, confronting takes a lot of courage, and it does, you know, you're going back and forth. Should I tell? Shouldn't I? What are people going to think about me? What are the opinions that go with it? Right?
Yes.
So What was it that gave you that strength to say, okay, besides, you know, you knew you had to do it, but having that support system from your family, had to be huge too.
Absolutely. I am lucky enough to have a very strong support from my parents, my sister, and my husband, and my husband's family. And they did give me strength and they always gave me support, which was another reason that I didn't want to live like this, because I had so much to live for. And it was hard because it sounds silly, but I thought in my mind, I was telling myself, who are you to be depressed? You have a roof over your head. You have two healthy children. You're healthy for most part, physically mm-hmm. healthy. Who are you to suffer from depression and anxiety? There are people out there with a lot more problems and a lot more difficulties in their lives.
Sure.
So I almost felt like, who am I to have these issues? Who am I to say that I'm depressed? But at the same time, I realized I had to confess. I had to talk to somebody about it. And I did seek help, and I did go to a doctor who did confirm that it was a major depressive disorder and generalized anxiety disorder. She did teach me that that's one of the reasons that you know that it is a chemical imbalance, is because, yes, I didn't have a terrible childhood growing up. I had those things that I was grateful for, but yet I was still unhappy. So she helped me to come to realize that it is that chemical imbalance in the brain that I needed support with, and it can be helped.
And you also kind of battled with unhealthy eating. You ate a lot of highly processed, high fat, high sugar, and were diagnosed with this major depressive disorder and generalized anxiety disorder. So where did that food part come into play? Because you lost a lot of weight after you changed your nutrition level.
Yes.
So how did that happen?
Yes. So when it all was happening, I was gaining the weight. I was seeking the sugar and the carbohydrates to make myself feel better. It's the comfort food, right? So I called myself the cupcake queen. I would, you know, and my husband was such a wonderful man, but he's an enabler. So I would call him and say, I've had a terrible day at work. Can you bring me home a cupcake? And he would do it. And, or even, oh, I've had a great day. My boss was actually nice to me today. Let's celebrate with cupcakes.
Yeah.
So the weight just obviously kept going on. And when I started to feel better, I started realizing that nutrition does play a role in our mental health. There is a brain and gut connection. And so I started steering away from the processed foods, from the sugars, the refined sugars, and I went to a more whole foods approach. So getting those fruits and vegetables into my system. And I was actually able to change my palate. And I'm embarrassed to admit it, but I was, about a year and a half ago, up till then, I was still a child in the way that I ate. Vegetables were not on my plate. I would give them to my children, and I would eat dinner later on so they couldn't see that I didn't have the vegetables.
Hope they're not listening.
Yes, exactly. And I had that sweet drawer at work that the kids didn't know about. I wasn't teaching them my bad habits, but I was definitely not changing them. And I realized, though, that it was impacting my mental health as well. So I changed my cupcake addiction, turned into hummus addiction. And I changed from hating all vegetables to actually enjoying vegetables and wanting them on my plate and wanting them to be the majority of the food that I ate. And my doctor always says to me now that she wishes she could give me gold stars all the time, or that she would love me to be a spokesperson, because I identified that I had a need for medication, but I also identified that I had the need to change my lifestyle habits as well.
Accepting takes a huge, huge amount of, you know, guts, I would say, because that's the biggest thing we lack, is accepting we have a problem within ourselves. And then moving forward with that.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we never want to necessarily look inwards, and it's very hard to self-assess yourself and to really look at what you're doing and what your habits are, and then even changing them can be very challenging because you're used to it. The processed foods are fast, they're easy. And in this day and age when we're, you know, dual income families and we want things that are quick and fast, mm-hmm. that's the easy way to go. So it's hard. It's definitely not an easy battle. It took me just under a year to lose the 100 pounds.
Wow. Congratulations on that. That's amazing. And you look fabulous.
Thank you very much. So it was a good amount of time, but I wanted to do it in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do that unhealthy. I have unfortunately done the unhealthy path in my past. So I have also suffered from anorexia and bulimia in my past. So it is something that I still battle with while losing weight. You have to make sure that you don't cross the line and that I'm eating stable meals and that I'm making the healthy choices. Mm-hmm. And I had tried so many fad diets in my past.
Yes, that seems to be the in thing that comes and goes in so many different ways. So
exactly.
You've lived through that and you've mm-hmm. tried them.
Yes.
Share that with our listeners. I would love to know as well.
Absolutely.
Do they really work?
They can work. However, it's very individual. So when I even work with a client now with holistic nutrition, I take it as a very individual thing, because what works for you might not work for me,
exactly.
and what worked exactly for me might not work for you. Mm-hmm. So for me in the past, things that I found, Weight Watchers, for example, it did really help me. Mm-hmm. I did start to lose weight. However, I just got tired of counting points.
Yes.
I got tired of so much thought into my food. Mm-hmm. So counting calories, portioning sizes, counting points, these types of things, to me, it wasn't a lifestyle change. It was what I was doing in the time to lose weight. And I would always just get sick of it and just go, oh, that's it. I want a burger and I don't want to think about it. Just give it to me. Mm-hmm. So with this new way of eating now, I don't count calories. I don't count points. I don't worry about that. I just know what I'm eating are healthier choices.
Yep.
So I can feel confident in what I eat. Mm-hmm. And if I want to have a piece of cake at a birthday party, I know I've eaten healthy and I can have a piece of cake. And that's fine too.
Yeah. And you're not stressing over every meal or every bite you're taking in.
Exactly.
So besides feeling good about yourself, it must have played a big role in where you're, you know, waking up now in the morning. How does that feel to you?
Yes.
1 year back versus what it is today?
Yeah, it's completely changed my mm-hmm. life. I can now wake up and be happy to start my day. I'm happy to help people that are going through similar situations as me and help them make changes that I've made. Mm-hmm. It gives me that inspiration to go out and hear stories, even such as your story, Rashmi. I love your story.
Thank
you.
It's amazing.
And it just, I love the idea of being able to help people. And I had lost, last year we lost a family friend.
Yeah, I was going to come to that because yes. that was another hitting point that you decided, okay, had I shared my story with this person and spoken about it, things would have been very different today. So
yeah.
if you want to take us back to that.
Yes. So a family friend had been suffering from anxiety and depression. And this was while I was still in my journey, still mm-hmm. struggling. And I didn't make enough effort. Now that I look back, I feel like I could have made more of an effort. And I wish I had talked to him and let him know that I understand and I'm going through something similar and you're not alone. Mm-hmm. And I wish that I had been able to do that, because just maybe I could have helped him and I could have stopped him from taking his own life. Mm-hmm. So from that point on, it was really an eye opener for me that forget stigma. Let's talk about this.
Yes.
Let's be open and honest and raw about what we're going through.
Yes.
And let's help each other and let's build and grow strong. Mm-hmm. And yes, physically you can see that I've lost the 100 pounds and I'm stronger and that. But inside too, it's a whole different picture.
It is. It is. I'm in conversation with Andrea Taplin. We'll be right back and stay tuned. Hello and welcome back. You are listening in conversation with Rashmi on CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. I'm sitting down with Andrea Taplin. We were just talking about the importance of sharing our stories and making an impact on people's lives. And she has had her own struggles with weight, depression, anxiety, and decided, this is it. It's time for me to go ahead and share my story. So you were just talking about a friend you lost by, you know, and you regret, had I shared my story, it could have changed that person's life. So today, now that you've gone ahead and you talk about your story, you share your stories, how does that impact people's lives?
I think that it allows people to feel comfortable in coming to me and sharing their stories, and it gives them the power to go home and speak with their loved ones or to seek medical care if they need that. It gives me the opportunity to help them in their lifestyle changes. So I help individuals in the nutrition side of things to take away some of that refined sugar and fix that side of the mental health. And then it gives them the courage to then go and seek the medical help if they need the medication on top of that. Because it is something that I know a lot of people are afraid of medications and what they do. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, you know, you might not need to be on them forever, but it might be a good starting point. Mm-hmm. So it has really given people the opportunity to share their stories and change their own lives as well, and given people courage, yes, which is what encourages me to continue to share my story, much like you and how you've shared yours. It gives you that extra courage.
Absolutely.
To know that you're helping them change their lives.
Absolutely. And in doing so, you have also started your own business, The Health Equation. Can you talk more about what that business is all about?
Absolutely. So again, after making all of these changes, I've thought, I need to actually learn about what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And so I studied holistic nutrition and I got my certified personal training certification.
Wonderful. That's awesome.
Yes, thank you. And I opened a business called The Health Equation. Mm-hmm. So I do personal training sessions or group sessions, boot camps, and I do holistic nutrition counseling. Okay. So if an individual wants to lose weight or if they're suffering from fatigue or foggy brain or if they do have a mental health struggle, so we'll work on their nutrition and the vitamins and minerals and things that might be missing from their diet that might be contributing to their condition. Mm-hmm. And then I also had the pleasure of joining Encompass Health and Wellness Clinic,
okay,
in downtown Kitchener to join this group of wonderful women to, again, spread this holistic nutrition journey and to help individuals come and make these changes to make their health, their lives so much more healthy.
Oh, that's wonderful. So where can people find this information, The Health Equation? You have a website, they can go up there and find, and is this local?
Yes. So The Health Equation, I do locally or online. So that's another brilliant piece, is that I can do online counseling. Mm-hmm. So there's a Facebook page for the Health Equation. I'm also working on building my website, okay. So healthequation.ca.
Okay.
And on Mondays and Thursdays, I'm actually at the Encompass Health and Wellness.
Okay.
So you can make bookings online at mm-hmm. encompasshealth.ca.
Okay.
And in this clinic, there's also terrific massage therapists, okay. chiropractic, acupuncture, Reiki. So it also fell into what I think as when I think of holistic health, mm-hmm. I think of all of these things because it's a lot of self-care.
It is.
And yeah, taking that time for ourselves, getting those massages, mm-hmm. Acupuncture is amazing if you've ever tried it.
I have.
Yes, right?
It works great. Exactly. It's worked for me. I love it.
Exactly. So to me, that is part of the holistic piece, meditating. So I wake up and I try to meditate in the morning and before going to bed, meditating. Mm-hmm. Simple things like that can really help. Even if you suffer from insomnia, having a routine in place to kind of have yourself
routine calm. Is huge, isn't
yes,
it?
Exactly.
Because from not just your work routine, but your day-to-day lives that begin from waking up. And how has that routine played a part in your home life, like with your kids? They must be seeing a huge change too from when, mm-hmm. you started this transition. How has that impacted?
Absolutely. It's actually quite wonderful. I've been working with my children in their own nutrition as well.
Okay.
Because
there's no more hiding and eating here.
no hiding anymore. And I'm right on board with them eating the vegetables.
Perfect.
And people often ask me, oh my goodness, your child is eating a salad. How did you do that? Not French fries, but a salad. And a lot of it is just talking to them about the health choices and talking to them. I don't use words like bad, good foods, bad foods. I don't do that. I talk about sometimes foods and okay. everyday foods.
Okay.
So sometimes foods are your cake at a birthday party or your pizza or things of that nature. Those are your sometimes foods. And mm-hmm. then your everyday foods are your fruits, your vegetables, your proteins. Those mm-hmm. are our everyday. And I talk to them about that. So they know. And my oldest, he's 8. And bless his heart, he actually gets up in the morning and he makes the lunch for him and his younger brother.
That's fabulous.
Yes. And he knows what to put in it to make it a balanced meal. Mm-hmm. And he is fabulous with that. And they've learned from watching me now.
That's amazing. And yes. that's the thing, right? The kids pick what we show them and what we give them, and we are their role models in a way, so they kind of imitate everything we do. So
exactly.
It does play a huge part there.
Yes. And for the routine, I started waking up and I have my gratitude journal. Mm-hmm. So I wake up and I say the things that today is going to be a great day. I write down 3 things that I'm grateful for, 3 things that I want to accomplish in the day. And then I can do the same in the evening. And so I even got that for my 8-year-old to start. So okay. he will wake up and write 3 things that he's grateful for. And it starts your day on that positive note to put
yes.
you in that positive frame of mind.
Absolutely.
Because the self-talk that we say to ourselves, it's so detrimental, and we don't even realize that we're our own worst critics.
We are.
Yes. And it's that self-talk that can
yes.
really harm your day. So to just turn that around and start off with
and it takes that 2 minutes or even a minute to just self-talk yourself into, this is going to be the best day today.
Exactly.
Which we don't do. We wake up agitated. We wake up with the frustration we have carried on, and we just don't self-talk ourselves into it.
Right.
So you've been doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And it's made such a difference. And I know when I haven't done it, because that day will be a little bit off.
And you can feel
and
that.
I can feel that, and I'll know, and I'll sense, okay, what's going on? You're a little less patient today or something. It's something. You feel it. You definitely feel the difference. Just like if I go a day where I'm not eating very healthy,
mm-hmm.
I'll notice it. I'll notice that, you know, oh, my body's feeling kind of sluggish. My brain is feeling sluggish. Mm-hmm. You can feel the difference when you're fueling yourself with good food versus that processed food.
Mm-hmm. So 90% of what has, you know, transformed your 100-pound weight loss was through nutrition, you mentioned. So does exercising and fitness play a huge part too there, right? Yeah. So you've been working out religiously. Yes. And how has that been in terms of your muscle, you know, building strength within yourself too?
Absolutely, because the nutrition can take you to a certain point.
Yes.
And then you also need the exercise. So in the beginning, I was embarrassed to go to the gym because I was heavy. And I, again, self-talk, was telling myself, oh, everybody's going to be staring at you, which now I realize is silly. Everyone's worrying about themselves. They're not. How self-centered that I think that people were worrying about me at the gym.
I know, but we do think that, right?
We
are so focused on our self-image all the time.
Yes.
So it does.
And it's true. Nobody was looking at me. But so I started near the end of my journey. I started going to the gym. And it's so important to create that lean muscle and to burn that fat and to release those endorphins that you get from your exercise. It's one of the easiest stress relievers and one of the easiest forms to help with depression and anxiety is to actually just get that exercise. And for individuals that aren't comfortable in the gym like I was, start with a walk. 30 minutes a day, go for a brisk walk, and then build your confidence to join a gym and to then use some resistance training, because it is important to lift weights. Mm-hmm. And to build that lean muscle mass. Mm-hmm. and to rid yourself of some of the fat. It's very important to get the movement going, and you feel so much better, and it also changes your body shape to make you that much more confident as well, tightening the skin and feeling good.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. And you've dropped your medication levels too, to a great extent, from 10 pills to 4 pills. Mm-hmm. And your doctor said, okay, you've done great so far. Go out and share your story.
Yeah.
So you're still on those medications. Mm-hmm. And you're still practicing your holistic, you know, approach to it.
Yes.
And all of this, and you've come a long way.
Yes.
And today when you sit down and approach those people, mm-hmm. you have a different level of confidence. And with all this, gratitude plays a huge role as well.
Yes.
So how is that impacting your life?
It's so important. I can't tell you enough. I mean, having
beside
that,
the gratitude journal that you do, that's
yes.
what you do, you know, when you go back home, it's like, okay.
Yes, I'm happy for the things that I have, for my children, for my family, for that support mm-hmm. system.
Mm-hmm.
I can be grateful for those things, and I can look at the things that I have and see the positives. And it's not enough to just say, I'm going to be positive today. Because we can all slap on a happy face.
Yes.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're feeling good on the inside. I did that for many years. People always said to me, actually, you're always smiling. What's your secret? And I used to joke, well, if I don't smile, I'll cry.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone thought I was joking, but the reality was, it was true. If
yeah.
I wasn't laughing and joking, I would probably be crying.
Yes.
So now I can
honestly
say,
you did that just so people can see you differently.
Exactly, because I didn't want people to know what was really going on. I didn't want people to judge me differently or to think that I'm a different person because of these struggles, because I still am who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that has never changed to the core.
So at some point in the past, when you started opening up and talking about it, did that bring that weight down and, you know, give you a degree of motivation saying, okay, it's out of my system. I've let it all go. I can do something for myself now.
Yes. It's allowed me to realize that self-care is important, and it's not selfish to need to take that moment, to take that half an hour to meditate or whatever is necessary, to go and have a massage, to go and have a spa treatment, to read a book.
But even communicating one-on-one with somebody is huge, right? Yes. Like, I know at some point when, you know, you're even upset about things mm-hmm. and you just bottle it up within yourself yes. and not talk to someone. People can't read your mind.
Yes, it's true. It's people, true.
You got to let them know.
Exactly. And I find that what I do now is because of the self-reflection, I'm able to try to verbalize the things that I'm going through, because sometimes, honestly, it doesn't make sense to mm-hmm. an average individual. Someone might think, why is there so much anxiety around such a simple task? Yeah. And so I try to explain to my husband, especially, you know, because he doesn't suffer from things like this. So, yes. And he is such a big part of my life. So it does help to try to verbally explain, well, this is what I'm feeling. And I know it might not make sense, mm-hmm. but this is how I'm feeling. And to be able to convey that to other people to help grow the understanding of what mental health challenges are. And so hopefully that can help other people too that have those individuals in their lives.
Yes, and that comes with accepting.
Exactly. That's... And then they can take that and say, okay, I've heard this story. I understand a little bit now more about how mm-hmm. my spouse or friend or other individual may be feeling with anxiety. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Andrea, for coming in and sharing and, you know, helping our listeners understand what it is going through, the things you've gone through, and giving hope to others to never give up. That's huge. And others can reach out for help. Yes. So thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story.
Thank you so Appreciate much for having
it. Me. Thanks, Andrea. So you are listening to CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo, and you just heard Andrea's story as well as Dana Murray. Thanks for tuning in. Next week, next Saturday, I will have David Tidd, who will be in studio to share his story and what life meant after being diagnosed with brain tumor and how it brought him and his family together as they went through it all together and how life-changing it has been. I will also have Dever, a proud dad. He is driven by passion and genuine interest in optimizing health and human performance to help people's lives and to live their best lives. He is committed to helping build better humans through nutrition, strength, and movement. So tune in next Saturday, June the 1st at 9 a.m. or you can even listen live online on radiowaterloo.ca. And if you have a story to share, email me on air with rashmi@gmail.com or follow me on Facebook in Conversation with Rashmi or my Instagram feed, RashSanj or CKMS 102.7. So thank you guys for listening in on CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo in Conversation with Rashmi. Have a wonderful weekend. Signing off right now.